Continuing, praise God, in our studies and discussion concerning the vision. Very important, and it's something, praise God, as we know, that we're aiming for. But we began last time with a sort of introduction, what it is, when do we get it, how do we get this thing called the vision, what is it all about. And really what we're looking into is actually the purpose, is God's purpose. Really, the purpose for the deeper life. Why has God revealed the deeper life? It's the purpose. What's he trying to do? What is he working to accomplish? And we were looking at the fivefold purpose, really, weren't we? The perfection, preparation, restoration, manifestation, glorification. Looking at those five aspects. And all of those five things are the purpose of the deeper life. What we call the deeper life. Perhaps it would be more helpful just to refer to it as the crucified life. So rather than get, you know, the deeper life, you know, some kind of deeper revelation. No, it's the cross. It's the way of the cross. If you know that you're being crucified today, if today we are being crucified with Christ in our experience, not just a confession, we've read Galatians 2:20, so we sing it, but an actual experience that today we're taking up our cross, we're disciples, we're believing, that's the deeper life. We are living the what is so called the deeper life. So it's the crucified life. And personally, just to reiterate, the vision is to become, or to experience rather, the fullness of Christ. Okay, to experience the fullness of Christ. Another and an important way of doing this, to put it in perspective, it's the total application of the total word to the total life. Every jot and tittle, every single thing that God has said, that God has revealed in his will, totally applied to our entire life. Nothing left out. Personality, thought processes, motive, walk, life, ministry, relationships, the whole thing. Everything that is your life, everything that is my life, completely subjected to God's word in its entirety. And the Holy Spirit works that. But you see, there's a glorious purpose for that. There's a way in which he works that. And this is what I want to hone in on this evening. You see, the first thing we need to start with, God has predestined. We looked at that in Romans, in our studies in Romans, didn't we? When we were in Romans chapter 8. God has predestined us. He has actually predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so, with that in mind, that God in eternity has decreed that the overcomers, those who overcome, shall be conformed in experience, not just a legal transaction, in experience to the image of his Son. Right, that's our faith, that is our vision, that God is, that's what we're building individually and corporately, the glorified church, that corporately also will walk in the fullness of Christ. That's where we begin, that's our faith. And so I want to begin where we left off last time, in this thing called the school of experience. The most important aspect, certainly one of the most important aspects as to how this is accomplished in our life. God is raising up the body of Christ through the school of experience for a glorious, redemptive, end time purpose. And it's a great conflict. We know it as the latter rain. We know it as the greater works. It's an apostolic ministry of deliverance. A global apostolic ministry of deliverance. It's referred to as Gideon's army. God is raising us up and he's working through our trials And this is what he's, this is the glory of it. This is why we have to have this vision. Otherwise, we're going to flounder in our trials. He's raising up an army through whom he will fulfill his end time purpose. There's going to be a body of believers walking in such faith, obedience, consecration to him, that his full, his complete, his perfect will is going to be accomplished. His redemptive will be accomplished through them. Now, that's the greater works. That's the latter rain. That's what God is raising up in the end time, this apostolic ministry of deliverance. Now, how does God do this? What is the instrument, you know, how does it work? Well, the school of experience, it's trials. We're on the potter's wheel. And we're learning as we take up our cross, and this is the whole point of the message of faith and discipleship. We're on that potter's wheel, and he's moulding us. His hands are on our life. He's moulding, he's working to conform us to the image of Christ. He's presented us with the cross, and whether we like it or not in the flesh, we're there, we're called to it. And I want to read something here in this, and this is what we're really basing our teaching on this evening, in 2 Timothy. You see, a lot of those that argue with this message, well, you're getting that out of Old Testament prophecy. Where is it in the New Testament? Dear friends, the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old. And Jesus, by the Spirit, is revealing to the sons and sonship. This is all part of sonship, the overcomers. He's revealing to us, by the Spirit, what he's doing in our lives. Now, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And here we go. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted him, or called him to be, enlisted him as a soldier. We have been enlisted in God's army. Not all, and this is the key to it, not all that have been called will be chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Potentially, every born-again, Spirit-filled believer can be part of this. And this is what separates the body of Christ. Not all that have been called will be chosen. Not all who have heard will experience. God is selecting. He's sifting, he's selecting, he's separating on the basis, like we mentioned, Gideon's army, of how we partake of the word. And we got a glorious glimpse of that on Sunday, didn't we? Many were touched, many would receive the deliverance, I know I did. Hearing that word, it's all part of the waters of Gideon, testing how we're partaking of this word. Why won't all be chosen? Because not all, and here's the key, this is what separates it, God isn't being unfair, not all are going to pay the price. When God works with us on the potter's wheel, crucifying, getting us to take up our cross, crucify the self-life, tears out of us sometimes, removes from us all affection for this world. That is the start. That's the basis. That's where we begin. When that has happened, we then undergo an even deeper discipline and training. Because he's ridding us of our religious errors, our strange ideas about God and faith. completely ridding us of the world and its ways, we then undergo an even deeper discipline and training. And that is to get us to hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. There are many, many, many voices bombarding our heads. Go this way, do this, do that, I should be doing this. And he's getting us to be rid of all those silly little voices. I've got to do this today, I've got to do that today, and do this. And sometimes, we know, there can be religious voices, whatever. It's getting us to be still before him, to know what it is to instantly obey, move in the Spirit without hesitation or question, and to be alert, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because he's preparing us for warfare. And if we miss it, if we're not in that place of faith, if we make a mistake, it could be a very, very costly mistake. And the point is, the reality of our trials is to get us to understand the reality of our warfare. That's a great redemptive purpose in a trial. To know by experience the reality of this warfare that we're in. Now, I don't just mean by warfare, just praying in tongues and binding and loosing. That's part of it. That's a very important part. Praying in the Spirit, binding and loosing. That's all provided for in Scripture. That's something God is teaching us. But we are in a constant warfare, ethically, morally, and spiritually, against the powers of darkness. And so what God is doing, what he's showing us with all of this, we have got to demonstrate by our actions, not just the word or I've read the Bible, but just like he chose those 300, he whittled it down from 31,000 to 300. They were chosen, they were selected on a particular basis. First of all, got rid of all those that were afraid, all those who have fear. You're no good to me. They're going to turn back in a time of battle. Get rid of all fear. Now, if you read that account, it's in Judges 7. But if you read that account, you'll see that Gideon himself was afraid. But he was chosen. And God made provision for that. I don't know of any human being that hasn't manifested some kind of fear at some time. But this is why we're being dealt with like we are. To come clean before God, to open up relationship, the perfect love of God, removing all fear, purging all fear from us. And this is why we're going through our trials. Those trials are specifically related to our life, our walk, our ministry before God. And each trial that we go through, it's directly related to God's purpose for us. And so that's the first thing. We have demonstrated by our actions that we're prepared for spiritual warfare. We are learning by experience through these trials that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We are learning by experience our spiritual warfare as we stand faithful, as we remain faithful by God's grace through each of our trials. Now, the reason God is compelled to reject many is because they lack the heart. They don't submit to trials. An overcomer is one who has overcome his fear of trials. If we can overcome our fear of trial, we've got there. We've done it. I don't want to sound, arrogant in that, but that's 98% of our problem. Overcome that fear of trial. The consequence, what will happen to me? If we can get rid of what will happen to me, if we can get rid of that, that's, praise God, we're nearly there. We are nearly there, because that's the thing, isn't it, that's causing us to resist. Why don't we yield to the Holy Spirit? Well, it hurts. See, this circumcision thing, this trial thing, it hurts. Get rid of that, friends. We're so close. And that's what God is doing. And each specific trial is related to God's purpose for us, because our ministries aren't going to be the same. This army is a trained army of specialists. Certain diseases, we're going to have certain gifts for certain diseases, certain authority. God is giving us an authority and a discernment a moral and a spiritual authority and discernment which completely lacks today. Everybody doing what is right in their own eyes. You can't tell anybody. They're just going to do what they want to do because they're right and nobody can tell them. I meet them every day. You can't tell them a thing. But there's going to come an anointing. An irresistible, it's a grace, it's a manifestation of God's grace that is either going to redeem or judge. It's going to be irresistible. And God is raising us up, training us through each trial that we go through. Now, God will, as I've said, he's going to have to put some to one side. God loves us too much to be unreal in that sense. He's not going to be so kind and give us like a self-image boost or like a face-saving thing. Okay, right, you can wear the uniform, you can be part of that army, you can pretend to be part of it because I don't want you to lose face in front of your friends. If we're going to get in the way, if we're going to be a hindrance, God will remove us. If we're not going to let go of that fear, if we're not just going to let go of ourselves, if we don't have the heart to submit to the rigorous training necessary, God will remove us. Now, what is that rigorous training? Well, it's not intellect, it's not strength, it's not ability. We heard it Sunday. The characteristic of this army is instant, total, unquestioning, unhesitating obedience. Total obedience, instant. Now, God's got to bring us to that place. That's all going to be by faith. God's got to do that. And praise God, we've heard how. As he gives us the ears to hear, as he gives us the heart, as we wait on him. And he does it through our trials. He exposes those areas that would hinder that. What else is it that whereby we come to this place, this place of faith? Well, through discipleship. As we continue to walk the walk of discipleship, as we continue to acknowledge that, yes, it's by faith, the faith walk. That faith walk trains us. It's a school. That discipleship trains us in obedience, in submission to the Master. But it's also a life of prayer. It's a life of consecration. That prayer life, it's not just men and women of great intellect, great theological knowledge. But as we begin to take up our cross, as God begins to work with us, as the Spirit begins to reveal needs, as he begins to work with us, Jesus said, didn't he, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So when we see our spiritual lack, that poverty in spirit, we're humbled, we're broken, because we have nothing, yet God is giving us everything. And it's in that process, that breaking, that humility, we begin to seek him in prayer, in fasting, and what is called a travail in the spirit, that groaning in the spirit, spoken of in Romans 8. That groaning to be released. We see that vision. We see what God has for us. And yet here we are, as it were, in prison. And so there's a groaning, a desire to be released. As we allow the Spirit to work that intercession within us. Basically, it's deep calling unto deep. It's a groaning within to be free of this life. And its constraints, its sin, its sinfulness. And as we separate ourselves to this, we then face the facts. We then become real with God. Yes, I'm in a warfare. I can't go playing around anymore. God is no longer going to allow me to use my time to minister to self, to minister to the flesh, to relax in that sense. You know, we're resting in God, but I mean spiritually relaxed. Go on holiday from the cross and just indulge the flesh a little and see how much I can get away with and justify it, you know, because after all I'm only human. That's not for the overcomer. God is calling the overcomer away from that compromise. Now you think, well, hang on a minute, that sounds a bit religious to me, a bit legalistic, a bit fleshly. Friends, this is the epitome of relationship. This is the epitome of relationship, because this doesn't lie within us. This is an eternal calling on the overcomer, on sons, those who would be sons. It's time to grow up. We've got to take responsibility. The trials we're going through, if they teach us anything, it's to teach us that this is serious. God is being real with us. And the things we go through are to teach us warfare, to teach us endurance, to teach us our authority in the spiritual realm. You know, there's a sense in which we've been too... Yes, there is waiting on God. It's all about waiting, that relationship. And God will work it within us. You see, God has to work this within our hearts. This life of a soldier in the natural, there's no way that can be an affection of his heart. He doesn't enjoy those hardships, but he knows that there's no other way. He's in there, he's a prisoner in that sense. And if he fails, if he rebels against it, he'll not only put his own life in danger, but the life of his comrades. But this army, God is working the affection for it. That affection for obedience, that affection to yield. Yielding is an affection of the heart. And as we yield to the Spirit, we're going to realise the warfare that we're in. The reason we resist it is because we don't yet realise that we are actually in a spiritual warfare.
That's right.
The enemy is out to destroy us. He's out to destroy that seed. He's out to destroy any remnant, anything that speaks or believes the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Anyone who truly loves and honours and understands the power in the name of Jesus is a complete threat to the enemy. Because we're going to be speaking that name and pulling down the enemy's strongholds. So we are marked men and women.
Yes.
And we're in that warfare. And after a time of being battered, we know we're reluctant, we just want an easy life. After a few batterings, we begin to realise, hang on, this is serious. Now, either I'm going to stand in this, or I'm going to fall. Now, there is a lifeline, praise God, live to fight another day. We pick up the phone, Kim, I'm going to... But eventually, we're going to learn to stand. We're going to learn to stand by faith. The importance of maturing in the faith cannot be overstated at this point. Because and all the time we're outside mature faith, or perfect faith, or total faith, whatever you want to call it, all the time there's fear or doubt or unbelief. We have to minister to ourselves. If you know, by definition, don't we? Because we're not completely forsaking self, we're not totally letting go and trusting God at that point. There's some area of self that needs ministering. Now, that's the difference between sons and overcomers and nominal Christians, the man-child and the woman. Now, God in his mercy, they'll eventually get saved, but I'm talking about being caught away and used in this end-time army, Gideon's army. The point about a mature faith is when we've completely forgotten about what I need, what I'm going through, how I feel, and we're totally, but I mean totally, in every way, 24/7, completely just surrendered to the Holy Spirit, given over, I'm serving the Lord in his vineyard, ministering to others. The heart of this army is an army of servants, ministering, not being ministered unto. All the time we're needing ministry. Can you imagine, we're in a serious conflict, serious situation, or whatever it would be, and something comes up, and rather than being there, standing up and being counted, being faithful, obeying God, being led by the Spirit, all of a sudden there's a hindrance, because hang on a minute, everybody, I need ministry here. Look, can I just ask for prayer at this point, because I'm going through a situation. Missed it, forget it. Now, God loves us too much, we're not going to be part of it, because we're just going to be a hindrance to others. This is a serious conflict God is raising us up for. So you're thinking, well, that's me finished, I don't qualify. This is why we're hearing it now. This is why we're going through our trials, so that we can get these things right now. Acknowledge it now. Yes, I have a problem with that. That's my name and address on that, Lord. Whatever it takes. You know, purge me, give me the heart for this. This is the reason that we're being taught to mature in the faith, and we're being taught the commitment of discipleship. You see, this is why we're going through what we're going through. Soldiers marching up and down the parade ground. They march up and down in drill, don't they? Left and right and about turn and halt, and they shoulder arms and they do that. None of those manoeuvres are used in battle. None of it is actually used on the battlefield. The whole purpose, the only reason that they're going through that, several reasons. First of all, they become sensitive to the voice of command. It just teaches them to obey. They get used to the sound of the sergeant's voice, and as when he speaks, they do. That's the first thing. Secondly, they're taught to be dependable, reliable. That person knows, the chain of command knows that when an order is given, it will be obeyed. They're dependable, they're trustworthy, and it also works unity. There isn't two or three marching at a different tempo. You know, it's like the proud parents. Look at my son, he's the only one marching in step. You know, everybody is marching exactly in time, in step. They all know what they're doing. And that's what he's doing with us. It's a unity. We're becoming, although yes, we're independent of man in that sense, totally dependent on God, yet we do in a very real sense depend on one another. One hurts, we all hurt. If one is rebelling, dragging his or her feet, then it, for a while, it brings the whole assembly to a standstill. That's why God over the years has been sifting. That's why there is a separation. It's painful, it hurts. That's why some, we'll just say hopefully for a season, have been put to one side, because they don't have the heart to submit to this. And it is a heart that requires submission. You know, this isn't contrary to God is love and relationship. This is the very epitome of it. Because through this army, God is going to reveal, as I said, that great apostolic ministry of deliverance. God's people are in bondage. He's going to use us to set the captives free, to pull down the strongholds of Satan. As we become alert and sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, we'll be led and empowered by him and speak with such authority that the gates of hell will tremble at our voice. Deliver the captives. Break every yoke. Set the captives free. Obadiah 21 says on Mount Zion there will be deliverance, saviours. People, you and I, in the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the Spirit, anointed with the charismatic gifts. Where's that deliverance? Mount Zion, not Egypt. Mount Zion. Egypt is set for judgment, Mount Zion for deliverance. And that's where we're going to be ministering. And it's not easy, because at the moment, there's no repentance. This world and its ways, and including the religious systems, ripe for judgment. God's got to do a work. And here's the glory of it, friends. Before you think, oh, my life is over, now I've got to spend my time praying and fasting and that's it, finished. Well, hang on, let's turn to Isaiah. Here's the glory of it, Isaiah 52. This is God's provision. God has provided. Yes, it is severe. It is severe, Isaiah 52. But it's also glorious. Isaiah 52. We just read in Timothy, didn't we, about consecrating ourselves, not being entangled with the affairs of this life. God is ridding our hearts of any affection for this life. But in Isaiah 52, verses 11 and 12, it says, depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her, be clean. You who bear the vessels of the Lord, speaking to us, his priesthood, who bear the vessels of the Lord. He wants that separation, that cleanness, holiness. For you shall not go out with haste. And here you go. Do not go out with haste, nor go by flight. Don't be in a hurry. Don't do anything by fear. Don't be hasty. Don't be, oh, I better move. Nothing's happening. Shall I go out? Shall I move? For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. He will prepare. David had a covenant with God. King David had a covenant with Yahweh. I will give you victory over the Philistines. You will defeat them. You're my chosen. They're the enemy. But when he went up, he said, Lord, shall I go up against the Philistine? He didn't presume, I've got a covenant, I cannot be defeated. He sought his God. And the minute he sought God, that was his victory. Because he wasn't doing the fighting. Do you remember that notable occasion when the Lord said, yeah, just hang on a minute, just wait until you hear the sound of a moving in the mulberry trees. What was that? A wind? No, that was the angelic army. That was the Lord of hosts. That was the angels moving. It was the angels moving in the heavenlies. And so the Lord, because that's how they related in those days. The same word in Hebrew is wind and spirit. So when he heard the wind blowing in the mulberry trees, he knew that was the angels moving. And he was then able, God had gone before, and he defeated the enemy. This is a supernatural foe, it's a supernatural fight, it's going to be a supernatural victory. And all God requires of his people is faith and obedience, not our own initiative. Now, how do we do all this prayer and fasting? How do we develop a prayer life? How do we have the heart to submit? We have not because we ask not. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, praise God. If we could just realize from beginning to end, God is going before preparing the way. He's preparing you and I. He's preparing those to receive our ministry. He's setting the scene. He's doing it all. They labor in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build the house. It is really just letting go, letting God do it. He's going to give us the heart for this. The wisest thing you can say, if it's true, might not be true, you might already have the heart, but Lord, I haven't got the heart for this. Please, work that in me. I acknowledge my need. I lack that discipline. I've had to say that. I lack the discipline. There are too many worldly affections in my heart. Father, purge them. Give me the affection to yield to your Spirit and consecrate my life to this. Because this is the vision. The faith, the discipleship, the trials, preparation for this great conflict and breakthrough. This is an army. We're being trained. And the main thing is not cleverness or strength. Yes, it's an endurance of faith, but it's that sensitivity, that alertness to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because there are many voices. My sheep hear my voice. Which voice are we going to hear? And it's an inward knowing that, yes, this is the Word, this is the living Word, this is Jesus, this is the Spirit. And we won't even have time to analyse that. We'll just know and we'll go. We'll just move in the stream of God's purpose and will. It's not a set. You know, at the moment we're training. We are being drilled, we're training. We don't know it all yet. And so we're making mistakes. And so God picks us up, we start again. Come the day, and it's soon, we're just going to move without analysing, without looking up, you know, in our heads, as it were. Is that a scripture? What's that? Sounds familiar. Is that, what's that, Isaiah something? It won't be any of that. We'll just move as Jesus moved, just moving in the Spirit, borne along by the Spirit, knowing in full authority and anointing that when we speak that holy name, speak the name of Jesus, that disease will disappear, that demon will flee, that soul will be saved. We will do great exploits in the name of Jesus, because God is going to prove to the unbelieving church and this rebellious world that he's still God in heaven, that his name is Jesus, and it's not a swear word, that his name is Jesus, his son, and he will honour that name spoken in faith, and we will do great exploits in that name to honour his name. John 14 says that those who believe will not only do works but greater works. Why? Because I go to my Father, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. It's him working through us, friends, that anointing. Because he's jealous for his name. And it's just believing. You see, we sing a chorus, and I don't want to upset anybody's song service, but maybe someone can wait on the Lord for new words. But we talk about, Lord, we need another Pentecost. No, we don't need another Pentecost, friends. We already have Pentecost. We speak in tongues. We're looking for the latter rain. We want something greater. Mm. Yes, we need fire. I agree with the fire. I agree with being burnt up with the dross. Not, you know, but having the dross burnt away, the dross of self. But we don't need another Pentecost, friends. We already have Pentecost. Right. The book of Acts, the early church, that's the former rain. We're now being restored till we come to the place for the latter rain. Amen. The double portion anointing. The greater works. Jesus, I know it's an awful thing to say, but this is what he went through. Limitless God, infinite, eternal, the Holy One, had to take on a body of flesh. He was limited in time and space. He could only minister in obedience to his Father. The Lord sends him to Israel. And that was the limit, that was the physical, geographical limit for 3.5 years of his ministry. Yes. That was his first advent. Now in his resurrection, praise God, limitless. All the limits are taken off. It's now global and it's through his body still. But not his earthly body, that he came as the prophet, through the body of Christ, his people, the church. We are now his hands, his eyes, his mouth, his feet. He's sending us in his name by the power and the fullness of his spirit to do his works and greater works. Because he is now in his resurrected body by his spirit. Well, not in his resurrection. Sorry. In the ascension, he sent the spirit to do his works in and through us. If you see what I'm saying. So we're now living his resurrection life, is what I meant, sorry. We are living by the power of his resurrection. The Holy Spirit that raised him from the grave, now the same Spirit works in and through us. Yes. Sorry, let's say it that way. And so all the limits are off. He's no longer limited to 3.5 years ministry in Israel to the Jews at that time that were listening. This is now worldwide. By his Spirit, his word going out to the four corners of the earth through the many-membered body of Christ, ministering in his name, his power, doing his works and greater works by his Spirit. Do you see how he's now set it up? But what's the point of that if we're going to hesitate? If there's fear, if there's doubt, if there's unbelief, if there's rebellion in the way? God is purging us of all of that. And so this is a very, very important part of our vision. The trials that we go through, the experiences, every single... See, what we've got to realise, God in his love, this is the provision, every single experience as we yield to the Spirit is directly related to his redemptive purpose for us and for the world. We're sons. Nothing is happening to us by accident or by chance. It's related to his purpose, to the ministry he has for us. Now, if we're not in faith, even if that ministry were given to us, we couldn't conduct it, because it takes faith, endurance, faithfulness. It's a supernatural work that God is working through us. And so it's important that we know the difference between chastisement and trials. A chastisement is what happens when we get off the cross. When we refuse the cross, we sow to the flesh, don't we? We minister to the flesh because we're resisting the cross. And so eventually we're going to reap to that. That's chastisement. It's not a trial, it's chastisement because we got off the cross. So God is chastening us to get us back on the cross. When we get on the cross and we get crucified, praise God, we get trials. Hallelujah. That faith then becomes tested. It becomes tried. But there's such a difference. The peace, the glory, the spirit of glory, the resurrection power. of the Lord Jesus Christ that is working through us at that point. You say, chastisement, chastisement if I don't, trials if I do, when am I going to get blessed? We're blessed all the time. That's the problem, you see. That confession gives it away, doesn't it? Praise God. You see, the Lord's caught you out. We're blessed all the time. Constant blessing, but in the meantime, we have to go through a few trials. Praise God. There's our faith, there's the glory of it all. Many, many different types of trials. Personal trials to deal with the emotions and the affections. Trials, relationship trials, slightly deeper in the body of Christ. You know, certain things that are dealing with in brother and sister, sometimes things in brother and sister can crucify us. Ministry goes through trials in the body of Christ. They speak a word or they live a life that convicts those that aren't, you know, still sitting on the fence. And those that are sitting on the fence are the loudest critics and opponents of the word and the ministry and the message. And so, no, we don't give in to resentment and why they're here, what's the point of them coming. Pray for them and praise God, pray them through. You know, some accusations, some problems can come right out of the house of God. And then there's the deeper working. You know, the apostle speaks of filling up that which is lacking in his flesh for the body of Christ's sake. You know, he went through a certain portion of trials for on behalf of the body of Christ, a real intercessory situation. You can read all about that in Colossians. Colossians 1, I think it is, verse 22 and 3. And then there's the perhaps the ultimate of suffering. Yeah, Colossians 1. It starts with 9. Colossians 1, 24. Colossians 1, verse 24, that is. And then there's suffering for Christ's name, just for being a Christian. If Jesus were on earth now, the afflictions, the suffering, the persecution he would go through. This is way beyond a trial of faith for sickness and waiting on God for an answer to prayer. This is persecution just for being a Christian. The enemy hates Jesus, and so the enemy that's in the world attacking Jesus in you. That's the deal. The ultimate suffering for Christ's sake. There's also suffering for righteousness' sake. Making a stand, living a godly, righteous life, convicts the people around you. And rather than submit to that and acknowledge, praise God, you know, or I want this, they'll attack you. They'll try and kill the messenger because they don't like the message. Many, many different types of trials. It's all working that deeper, deeper, deeper understanding of the cross, of fellowship, spoken of in Philippians 3, fellowshipping in Christ's sufferings. Being made conformable to his death, that if by any means we might attain the resurrection, which we spoke about earlier. His life, his resurrection life and power working in us and through us. Praise God, that's the army God is raising up. But it requires discipline. And it's a many-faceted jewel of faith, the faith that God is working. Every trial we go through, and this is the thing to lock into, is specific for you, for me. Every trial you go through is specific for you. God knows the training you need to fulfil your ministry. He knows the training I need to fulfil mine. Now, there are principles we can glean. Each one of us, you know, we can look at consecration, we can look at the fruit of the Spirit, we can look at obedience and we can think, yeah, praise God. We can look at a prayer life. We think, that really speaks to me. That brother's commitment, that sister's prayer life, the fruit of the Spirit in that person, that really speaks. It's a blessing. But we can't copy one another. We're all, there's a uniqueness that God is working that is special to you, special to me, that nobody else can fulfill. And he knows his specific will, he knows a specific training necessary for you to fulfil your ministry. Nobody else can do it for you. It's no good copying anybody else thinking that's how it's going to be. It's totally between you and God. And this is the importance of learning, of taking responsibility and learning to hear from God. not from man, what do you think I should do? What do you think the Lord is saying in this? It's a relationship between you and God that only you hearing that inward, that still small voice of the Spirit, only you can know that. Now, it ought to be obvious as well, we need to be careful here, some people use that as an excuse for changing scripture or for not doing what the pastor says or for disobeying the word. Well, that's not what God is telling. So that ought to be obvious. I trust we're going to cover that one. You know, that's obvious. If we're sincere, if we love the Lord, if we're serious about this, hearing the still small voice is what brings us into obedience to God's revealed will. It is scripture, yes, it is the word, but you and I know that without the Spirit, it's a lifeless, it's death, the letter kills, it's legalism. We're trying in our own strength to keep the law, making a law out of what God intended to be life, and we can't do it. So it's got to be the Holy Spirit ministering his word to us. It's the Holy Spirit who ministers the Father's will to us, reveals it and works it, empowers us. And praise God, that is why we're going through. So when we go through a trial, yes, praise God, you know, the scriptures and the promises, but James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. Lord, give me the wisdom. Give me your wisdom in this situation. What is your will in this? And that's how we hear. It's in the furnace as we submit. And it's a purging work. That furnace, that trial, it's a fire. It cleanses, it purges. It hurts. We know all about it. But it's in that that we hear the still small voice. And when we experience God's presence. And that's what he's doing. He's not teaching us theology, as blessed as that is and as important as that is. What he's ultimately teaching us, to hear, to be alert, to respond to the still small voice of the Spirit, to be able to obey him without question. But also, and this is perhaps just as important, is to be aware of the presence and activity of the powers of darkness. To know, Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant of the wiles of the devil. To know when he's, you know, the lies of the enemy. To know of his tricks. To know of his scheme. And to know how to deal with it. We're being taught spiritual warfare. The authority, the discernment, the awareness of the presence and activity of the enemy. See, those people that failed the test in Gideon's army, they threw themselves in the water, didn't they, and just gorged themselves on it, totally making themselves totally vulnerable to the enemy. But those that God was going to use, they sipped, they lapped, which demonstrated, yes, they had a thirst for the word, but they had a wisdom. They knew that there was an enemy because they were at their weakest, most vulnerable point, and that enemy could strike at any time. They knew that. And this is what God is teaching us. Yes, we love the word, we want more of it. But we don't gorge ourselves to the point of, right, well, let's just gorge ourselves and the enemy's not a problem. He is. We're ever aware, we're ever mindful. We have a vision that we're being taught, we're being prepared for warfare. And that, and basically what it is, as this word comes forth and sows faith in our heart, we're ever aware, right, there's a trial attached to this. The enemy is now going to seek to take this away from me. It's just wisdom from experience that, yes, as blessed as this is, and as much as God loves us and he's working and he's given us these promises, there's a warfare attached to it. There's a waiting on God. And the most important part of our warfare, in closing, it is waiting on God. We read that in Isaiah. Not to do anything in haste, not to do anything in fear or flight, but as we wait on God in that prayer life, ask him, Lord, this is new to me, this is foreign to me, I know nothing of this. Please teach me this. Please make me aware of this. Give me the heart for this. I want this to be done out of relationship. I want this to be done because of my love for you and my love for the brethren. I know this is serious. And this is not something I would just jump on a bandwagon. God will work it. You see, where a lot of us have failed in the past and where some have sadly been put to one side, they first heard this and they thought, wow, this is glorious. Oh, praise God, I want to be part of this. And subconsciously or deep within, it made them feel important. I'm special. I am a son. I'm an overcomer. I'm going to pull down the strongholds of Satan. I've got an important part to play in the body of Christ. Gone, finished. Or God in his mercy, completely breaking and crushing. And you know, I have to put my hands up to that. I thought, wow, this is glorious, isn't it? Wow, what a ministry. But God has had to break and to humble and to show us the seriousness of this. This is not just some fun fair that you can just kind of jump on a bandwagon. God has to give us the heart. He has to show us the seriousness of this. And when we come through our trials, we realise, yes, okay, severe. Yes, the enemy gave me a pounding, but I'm still here. It didn't harm. It may have hurt at the time, but no harm's been done. I've been through the furnace, but I've not been consumed. Jesus is with me, but the smell of smoke not even on my clothes. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still worshipping God. You'll have found that fear has gone. Closer walk with the Lord. A deeper understanding of the cross. A deeper understanding of warfare. Deeper understanding experience of God. And that's what he's working. Day by day, trial by trial, stage by stage. Till we come to that place. Total, unquestioning, unhesitating obedience. And God, that's it. That will then begin to speak for itself. That's what sonship is. Praise God. That's an important part. So we're not just going through trials. Oh, my trial. This is why we're being trained for God's end time army. Hallelujah.
Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah. Whatever we lack, whatever we need, ask of him. Ask in faith. Ask of God.